for leading us in an exciting time of worship. Good morning. This is the first time. Yeah, thank you. This is the first time I've gotten to preach since Connect and Victory have joined. So if you don't know who I am, my name is Jared Scott. I'm the student pastor here, and I'm excited for our future. I'm excited to see what God has already done in our lives and the things that he is going to do soon. I can't even describe what it feels like looking towards the future, seeing what God has already done and the things that he's already shown glimpses of, and just the joy to be a part of this place and to see what God is doing. But before we get started, I would like for y'all to join me in prayer. God, we come before you, Lord. And as we just sang, that we surrender all, Father, I pray that that be true in our lives. Those words are dangerous to say, God, because they're so weighty. To say that we surrender our lives to you is a difficult calling, but more rewarding than we can ever imagine. And Holy Spirit, we just ask that you come now and teach us, guide us, correct us, encourage us, lift us up, Lord, but direct our lives for more than just this 1 hour, but through our daily actions. Lord, let this time just be an outflow of what you're doing with us daily. I ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I do truly hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I hope your family laughed as much as ours did through all the talks of politics and the embarrassing stories through Grandma. I hope you had fun. Thanksgiving is one of my favorite times because it's just a time to think about the past and to hear those stories, to laugh, for some people to go home. I went back to my house, I went to my room, and I looked at it and just remembered all the heroes, all the posters I used to have up on my wall, the people who I wanted to be like. I had Michael Jordan, I had the triplets, Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman, and Michael Irvin. Obviously, I'm too short to be anything like those people, and I don't have the skill level to be like those people, but they're the people who I wanted to be like. And it's just fun to remember all the memories and the thoughts of being out with my friends and pretending like I can dunk on the little 3-foot plastic goal. But it was fun. And now I have my own heroes. I have different heroes. I have heroes that are a little bit different. One of the people who I kind of look up to and I want to be like is Beth Whitaker. If y'all haven't met Beth Whitaker, she's our church receptionist. You should get to know her. She's really cool. She's probably going to be really mad that I'm calling her out on this, but that's fine. But she's just a real cool person to get. And she's one of my heroes because she goes and travels. I've never been a person to travel. It's one of the things that I want to do in life. So we get to sit and talk, and I get to learn. I get to ask her questions about all these different countries she's traveled to. I get to ask why she goes there, the history of the countries. How much does it cost? Why does it cost so much to do this? Because I don't understand why it takes a $1,500 to ride on a plane for 2 hours. I don't get it, but it does, and she helps me understand that problem. And we all have these heroes that we as adults, as we grow up, we get to sit and talk with. But there's also many that we don't get to sit and talk with. And the craziest thing is that so often we hear, especially in Christianity, that we are to live like Jesus. And we call Jesus our hero. We say that we're going to follow after him. I want you to understand, this is not a cheesy bumper sticker that you put on your car when we say follow after Jesus. It's not something you put on a coffee mug. This is a biblical statement. Right? Jesus says, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me daily. Paul says it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Right? Even Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Not because Paul's special. Understand that. Paul's not saying, hey, I'm awesome because I'm into Christ. He goes, no, I am dedicating my life to be like Christ. And you're arguing over who has baptized you, and that doesn't matter. If you're to do anything about me, if you want to imitate me in any way, imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's a terrifying thing to say. Because that's saying, I'm dedicating my life to Christ and that I'm living a life worthy of the calling. And we always go, well, I can't know and I can't understand, yet Jesus is so close. And the hard part is we go, what is it to be like Jesus? What does that mean? When you hear that, you probably think of love, right? Jesus loved very well. Much love that I wish that I could replicate myself. He showed mercy. He showed grace. He showed boldness.
And all these things are true, and all these things are needed. But there's something I want to focus on today that we don't think of when we talk about being like Jesus. It's not just because of the fact that we don't teach it, or sometimes we just skim over it. So if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 28. And when you have gotten there, if you would stand as we read God's word. This is the last command Jesus gives his disciples before he leaves. The very last thing he says before he leaves. The last words that he wants them to remember. And it's words we often don't remember ourselves. We'll start in verse 16. It says, Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am always with you to the end of the age." You may be seated. And what a promise that is for Jesus to say, "I am with you until the end of the age." So this is the one place we're going to stay at today. So little part of scripture, and we're going to try to go as deep as possible. If you're going to take notes, there's some points that will come up on the screen. And the first one is this. We have to be aware. We have to be aware of not only what Jesus is saying, but how Jesus is saying it. With what authority he's saying it with. Saying with all authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus, the Son of God, is letting his people know, the people standing there, that God, the Father, the one and true God, is giving me the authority to say these things. I always think of, you know, when you're kind of young and you do something, you're kind of not paying attention, you know you're not in trouble, but you're laying on the couch watching TV and your dad says, "Hey," it's like, "Oh, I'm sitting up, I'm in trouble, I don't know what I did, but I'm sitting up because you said, hey." I feel like that's what Jesus is trying to do. He's trying to get your attention of what he's about to say. Because for him to say that, he's one, recognize that God the Father is in control. That he is humbling himself to the commands of God himself. And if Jesus is humbling himself, we should as well. He says, with all authority that heaven and earth has been given to me, the command that he's about to tell us is what we have to focus on. I like direction. Most people like direction. Not many people just like to go with the flow of life, right? We like knowing expectations. We like knowing the reality of the situation. And God does that. Jesus does that in this passage. He says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Because our command is to make disciples. And we're going to camp out here for a little bit. The first part of this scripture people love to use for evangelism, to go and share your faith. That is very true. We are to go to all nations and make disciples. This is one of my favorite things that we get to do as a church. We have two college students that are about to spend their entire Christmas break going to Europe to evangelize. We have one college student who is not about to be a college student because you're graduating in a couple weeks, who's going to go to Canada for 5 months to go work with the church up there. They're going away to make disciples. We go do mission trips in the summer. The church is very well about this. The hard part, evangelism is not the end of discipleship. It's just purely the beginning. The very beginning. A very small part, a very small length of time. When we hear this, we love going, okay, I've evangelized. I've shared my faith with someone. I've went on a mission trip. I am done. But it's only the beginning. Part of the danger that we realize with the church that at least I'll admit I struggle with, maybe you don't. So often we evangelize, share our faith, they are baptized, and then we go, cool, go to this class, and you're good. And then they go to this class, and they have no idea what's going on. No one's really directing them. They are being taught these things that they don't even have the base for. They just know they're supposed to follow God's call, and they're trying to do their best. And we don't develop, and we don't invest in their future And so he says, go make disciples of all nations. What does it really mean to disciple? A class doesn't cut it. Once a week doesn't cut it. Twice a week doesn't cut it. But an investment of daily life does. Right? Because it says, teach them all the things I've commanded. Do you realize how long this book is? Even in small print, I mean, you might read fast. I don't know. For me, about a page is probably about 10 minutes because I'm dyslexic, and about after 30 seconds, I'm like, let's go play. But it takes a long time to read this. And then once you read it, you go, what does that mean? Who's this person? Why is this person important? I don't know. Why should I read all of these things? Why do I have this Old Testament? I'm not Jewish. But yet we need to know the Old Testament. But so often we just go, cool, go to this class. And we don't hear about it. And so discipleship is a daily activity. When you look at how discipleship is shown throughout Scripture, it is with 12. Jesus takes on 12. Yes, he talks to the masses. Many people follow him, but he focuses on 12. And I can brag on more and more of our student ministry and our college ministry. This is one of the most exciting things. I think us as a whole, especially the last month, seeing the projection that we're going, discipleship is going to be our focus. And not just in verbiage, but in action. Because so many churches say, discipleship. We believe in discipleship. But they ain't doing a thing to follow through with it, more than just a class. And a class only can go so far. We can only go so far as a group. There is one of me, there is one of Pastor Lean, there is one of Pastor Jay, but there is 250 of you. You can't expect one person to take on 250 people. That's why we train and develop. The video we just showed was our student fall retreat. This last month we had our student fall retreat, we had our college fall retreat. And in that, we talked about spiritual gifts. And it was a time of investment. We got to know one another. We got to see what God is doing in their lives and help point to where they're going, how to strengthen what God has already gifted them in, and how to help where they are weak in. But it takes time. This is a command you have to follow, not just one, not just two, all of us. Discipleship, disciple making is not just that for the paid minister. That is not that of just the person who leads your class. Like I said, we did a spiritual gifts. We went through what spiritual gifts are in the Bible. Do you know what is not a spiritual gift in the Bible? Discipling. Why? Because it's a command for everyone. Discipleship. It's not something that we go, oh, this is where I'm gifted in. Some people are better at it, yes. But you, individually, are to make disciples. God has called you to make disciples. Why? Because Jesus made disciples. To be like him, it is natural to invest in others. The next point is this, is just don't overcomplicate it. That might be silly for me to say out loud. And it might be silly for you to write down as notes, but don't overcomplicate it. And so a reminder to you and to me, this isn't as difficult as we like to make it out to be. Right? 21st century, we are so connected that we are disconnected. Right? I have the power to know anything I want to know with the touch of these buttons. Well, I guess touch of the screen, not the button. But yet, I'm so connected and I have so much knowledge at my fingertips, I have no idea what's going on a lot of time. I'm so stuck to the screen and not to the lives because we think we're investing in each other's lives by liking a picture, by liking a status, by sending a Facebook message and just go, hey, hope everything's good. Call them. Go to their house. Your friends, I hope. We say we have friends. I bet if I look at your account, it's in the few hundreds. But how many of those people do you actually invest in? And I hear quite often different excuses. It really is excuse. And things we have to battle, we have to fight through, I have to fight through. And one of them is just knowledge, right? I can't make disciples. I am not knowledgeable enough. When we look at Acts, as soon as those people got saved, you know what they did? They ran out and told more people, started sharing their faith, started walking through Scripture, started walking through what the disciples and the apostles were teaching them. started investing in them. They didn't wait. They couldn't help but share. They couldn't help but let Jesus take over their lives. I don't want to romanticize the early church. It had its plenty of struggles, right? We read the rest of Paul's letters. You can see the mess up they had. They had the same struggles we did, but yet they were wanting to make disciples, and it grew so fast. Not just numerically, right? Don't hear me say our focus through discipleship is to grow numerically. That's just a result. Our focus through discipleship is to grow spiritually to God. If there's 1,000 people in this room and we're running 3 services, but yet no one is growing spiritually, who cares? If we're not investing in one another to point others to God more and more often and not God so people can come and we look cool and have an awesome sounding band and we get books written about us, no, who cares? Because all that will just pass away. But everlasting godly disciple makers is our focus and the focus of the early church. And honestly, you know what, how much knowledge you need to know that? You don't need a seminary degree. I'm in seminary right now. Trust me, you do not want to go to seminary. It is a headache. I'm reading 7 books at a time, and I can't tell you what I'm reading about them. They're all using big words. I have to use a dictionary to look up, and it's good, and I'll look back at this and laugh one day, and it's great. But all you need to make disciples is right here. Amen. These words, right here, at your home, at Starbucks, if that's what you do. Read and invest your time with God, not only through reading scripture, but through prayer and through having someone disciple you as well. What's 1 + 1? What's 1 + 1 + 1? What's 1 + 1 + 1 + 1? You see, we start making this little train, right? We were talking about earlier in the students this morning, we're talking about, man, it's great to see this tree of the lineage of throughout biblical history. I think it's cool to watch people who make disciples to see their lineage, and you start seeing how much they affect the world. You see what I'm saying? When you start investing in one person, you're doing a lot more than just investing in one. Because when they start investing in someone else, you invested in 2. And then you invest in 3 and 4. And 5. And being really honest with you, they'll probably never remember your name until they get to that 5th person. They probably never know who you are. But who cares? Because God's name is made great. God's name is magnified in that moment. Stop worrying about what the other churches are doing. We're the same team. We're good. Same team. Worry about what you can do and how you're investing your time. And then a lot of people say, oh, I just can't invest in those 12 people because they want to go, Jesus invests in 12, I should invest in 12. So out of that 12, you know how many people Jesus really called out and spent more time with? 3. You know who he really focused on in those 3? 1. 1. If Jesus focuses on 1, you can focus on 1. Because we got a lot of things going on in life. School, marriage, our own kids, our own jobs. But if you can disciple 1, you can disciple more. I encourage you to disciple more. Know when to stop. Know when to tell someone, hey, I can't add you to my life. Not because I don't love you, not because I don't care about you. I love and care about you enough to tell you, you need to find someone else because my time is stretched too thin to truly invest in you. But then even look at Paul, the apostle. Throughout scripture, he talks about Barnabas. Talks about Timothy, Titus, and the list can go on and on and on. You know who he invests in the most? Timothy. You know who started the investment in Timothy? His grandmother and mother. Paul even talks about his mother and grandmother, talking about the glory of their investment in their grandson and son through scripture. So it starts with us, with you as parents, not us. I'm not a parent yet, hopefully. I'm newlywed, so I'm still hoping that we're not pregnant yet. But you as a parent start with the discipleship there. Like I said, I'm a student pastor. I invest in all these kids and the kids who aren't here at the moment because Thanksgiving. But My job is to invest in them. I'm to walk alongside you. I'm not supposed to take your place as their spiritual leader. That's not my job. I'm to encourage you and your children. But you are the leaders of your household. Not me, not Pastor Lee, not Pastor Jay, not my college students who are leading these kids in small groups. That's not their job. It's yours. And don't overcomplicate it when it comes to time or even energy. You know, as little kids mostly want, there was these two little kids, they were going, "Dad, I want a puppy. I want a puppy." So dad finally breaks down, gives them a puppy. Real exciting time. Obviously, kids love puppies for about 2 weeks, and then they're like toys, and they go, "Dad, this is now your dog." But they love the puppy. Brings energy to the house, brings excitement, teaches kids responsibility somewhat. But, you know, those kids are six, the puppy's a puppy. But after 10 years, when the kids are now 16, and that puppy's 10, that grown dog, he's just laying there. The puppy's no longer excited. The energy is gone. So the kids get bored and go, "Dad, I want a new puppy." And the dad goes, "Well, this dog doesn't have much longer. We'll buy a new puppy." You know what happens when the dad brings the new puppy home? That old dog gets a little more energy. That old dog wants to play a little more. The old dog finds some value in itself again. Now, granted, that puppy annoys the old dog, and the old dog will snap at it occasionally. But that new puppy brings life into that old dog's life. And I don't know about you, I've been a believer for a long time. I say a long time. To me, 10 years is a long time. I'm 26, so 10 years is long for me. But sometimes I feel like that old dog. I confess to you, I'm tired. There's a lot of times I'm tired. I know most of y'all pretty well to know that you're also tired. I go, "Man, I don't have enough energy to invest in somebody else." I will admit to you that this semester I've challenged myself to really disciple a couple guys. The energy those guys give me brings a new joy in my faith, because I get to walk through life with them. I get to see God using them. The picture of those college students up there, four or three of them have been with me since our first fall retreat 3 years ago. And one of the guys I disciple, we talk about how crazy it is. I say we talk about, I tell him, because it's more exciting for me than it is for him. But it's crazy to see these college students who are about to graduate and think about them 3 years ago when I was like, "This is a mess. What am I getting myself into? I'm 24. I have no idea what's going on in life." But to see God change them, truly change them, where not only they are hanging out with the students, but they're teaching, they're leading worship, they're investing in these students without me asking them to do anything. And it's not because I'm a great discipler. It's because that was what was taught to me. And the person who discipled me, that's what was taught to them. And that was what was taught to them. You start seeing that we're making our own trees and the branches are becoming full. Why? Because we're sticking to our roots, the root of the gospel. That's where we're gaining our knowledge, our nutrients from. So don't overcomplicate this. And the last point is discipleship takes a lifetime. And don't freak out on that one. A lifetime is a really long time. I get it. But it takes a lifetime. And there are seasons in those lifetimes. The person who really discipled me at first is no longer my main discipleship partner. He's now in Kansas City. He has his own thing. I have my own thing here. We talk once a year, and that's okay because it's a season. Because when he left, God came in and goes, "Here's a new person." And it changes over time, as sometimes seasons are a few months, a few years, and sometimes there are a few that are a lifetime. I say adoptive dad, he didn't actually legally adopt me, but that doesn't make a difference to me. He is one of my disciple makers. He has discipled me and taught me. And that one will last a lifetime. Obviously, I call him dad, so I assume it's going to be a lifetime. I hope. But that one is a lifetime. And there's some, like I said, just a season. But through my life, as soon as some of these college students will move away that I've gotten discipled, some of these college students will move away and they'll find new disciplers and people to disciple, my season with them will change. But discipling is not over. The discipleship process is not over. It's just continuing elsewhere. And the body continues to grow and to be challenged. And the plant, the little seed that you planted is getting watered all the more. All the more. What's funny is Jesus, like I said a minute ago, he humbled himself to follow what God has called him to do. And he even says in the garden, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. You see, he took the focus off himself. He did not look for the glory. And making disciples, the glory is never about you. Do not let this scare you, but let it encourage you. There are people here who want to help and develop and disciple you. But in return, you also have to make disciples. Being like Jesus isn't complicated. You realize that? Like, it's not complicated. People love making it complicated. It's not. It's not. But it does cost you something. Sometimes it gets ugly. Sometimes it is difficult. But it ain't complicated. Jesus says, you know, follow me. People will know you by my love. The people, my followers, my people, my children know my will. Why? Because they're investing in God's will. Reading this, right? Like I said, I talked to Beth, and I asked for her opinions and for her wisdom. And I do that with many other people. People go, well, sometimes Jesus just isn't speaking to me. Well, it's because you ain't reading what he's been saying. He's speaking. He's speaking right here. There are many ways to get invested in this. And a lot of them just has to do with talking. Not through social media, but face to face. Right? We have groups that meet on Sunday morning and meet throughout the week. Those are great places to start. When you walk out, go to the Next Steps table. There's a list of all of them. You have no excuse not to get invested somewhere. Both investing in and to get invested. Do not waste your time. Life, like I said, life seems like a long time. 10 years seems like a long time. I'm starting to realize 10 years is really, really fast. 70 years is really, really fast. Don't waste 70 years because eternity will reflect those 70 years. So brothers and sisters in Christ, I challenge you, don't ignore this command. You want to be like Jesus? There is no more fulfilling aspect in life than to be like Jesus through the disciple making. If you're a not believer and you're here just trying to figure this thing out and here just to listen, I ask you, go to that table, find one of those groups, and go spend some time with them. Let somebody invest in you. Go ask them the hard questions. It's okay to say, I don't know to those hard questions, people. Remind you, if you don't know the answer, it's okay to say, I don't know, let me look it up. Go ask questions as well. But let somebody invest in you if you're just trying to figure this out. Time goes by quick. Use it well. You're willing to invest in TV shows, sports, school, work. You should be willing to invest in Jesus if he's your God. It is difficult. Like I said, I'm a seminary. I work here full time. You would think it would be easy. Pastor Liam can attest, it ain't easy. We're human. I'm not any better than you. I'm a childish 26-year-old most of the time. I have a lot of people that I go and talk to disciple me. Don't waste your opportunities. We live in a free country with no persecution. We can meet and talk wherever we want. We can come gather as a body of believers on Sunday without being afraid. Many other people would kill for this opportunity. Let's honor those who taught us well by teaching others well. Let us honor God with our lives by making disciples in all that we do. So as the band comes out, I'd like to just pray for a minute and reflect on what God has called us to do. Discipleship does get messy because it takes investment. You get to know somebody, you get to know deep, dark secrets. You get to know their faults. You get to know their joys, their sorrows, their past. You get to invest in their future. Your heart will be full and your heart will be broken. But yet Jesus' heart was full and it was broken. Do not waste your life. God, we come before you, Lord, asking for your strength, for your wisdom, and for your glory, God, to be shown in our lives. May people see you in all that we do. God, and may we be willing to make disciples, and may we be willing to be disciples. God, may we be humble in our actions. May we be vulnerable, be quick to hear, and slow to speak. Lord, reign in our lives, more than just in our speech, but in our action, in our daily walk, in our daily activities. God, we love you. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.